I'm glad that Martin changed his order. How about you guys? Wow, a breezy evening to say the least. At least bad breath is not a good idea for a first date or a second date or a third. I don't know that bad breath's a good idea if you've been married for 20 years. You know, but when you're married to somebody, you're going out on a date with somebody, one of the things that you're willing to do is to change a little bit. You're willing to be better. And that's what Martin did on his date with Julia, as we've been watching every week. And you know what? That's what disciples do. They choose better. That's the title of the series that we're doing on discipleship. And we're talking about how the decision to be a disciple is better. And if you've been with us for the past couple of weeks, just by way of a quick recap, you know that we've started every week with sort of this premise. All disciples are believers, but not every believer is necessarily a disciple. There are lots of people who are curious about Jesus and want to know who he is and want to check him out, but not everybody is interested in making the sacrifice necessary to really make a commitment to him to life change. But that's exactly what disciples do. And then if you were here a couple of weeks ago, we talked about a choice that Jesus made. And Jesus chooses disciples of quality over people in quantity. You say, well, doesn't Jesus love everybody? Yeah, absolutely. No doubt about it. But what he's looking for is for those who are willing to do better and deepen their level of commitment. And then if you were here last week, we rolled out the very first requirement of discipleship, which is this. You got to agree to love Jesus more than anyone else in your life. First, last, and best. And if you were here last week, we said that loving Jesus more than our friends and family often leads friends and family to loving Jesus. And so while that can be a painful decision and a painful requirement, it's a better decision, which leads ultimately to God's glory, and it's better for just everybody. Well, today we arrive at really the centerpiece of the series that we're doing. We're going to have probably about five messages in this series, and today we're right in the middle of it. And today we're going to look at the second requirement of discipleship, and that is this: disciples choose to carry a cross. What exactly does that mean to you? You know, if you've been attending church for years, chances are you know about the cross, you know about Jesus' work on the cross. But what about your cross? Do you really know what that is? Do you know what it looks like? How close are you to it? Are you carrying it? Is it across the room? Or are you near to the cross? That's one of the things that we'll talk about here this morning. So this morning we're not just going to learn about the cross and what it is. We're going to sing about the cross. We're going to worship the God who came and died for us on the cross. We're going to talk about how disciples choose to carry a cross and how that's always better. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for bringing us back here this morning. We pray that you see the worship that is in our hearts and that it's flowing out and going up to you in heaven. We thank you for being in this place. Father, we ask for clarity this morning. This word cross, this concept cross, gets thrown around pretty loosely, God. And sometimes we're a little bit careless with it. Well, help us to understand it this morning. Use your word in our time together. And Father, please let your Holy Spirit guide us to a deeper understanding of what the cross is, what it does, and what you can do for us through it, and what we can do for you by picking it up. We ask this in Jesus' name, and everybody says, amen. Well, let's just begin right at the beginning. Let's talk about what the cross is. Because, as we've been saying, a lot of people may not have a good idea of it, but we've got to go first to our text, which is Luke 14. And in Luke chapter 14, which is our text for this entire series, Jesus rolls out this big requirement of discipleship. He says, "And if you do not carry your own cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple." Wow, that's a big phrase. He uses it three times in this passage. Cannot be my disciple. So if your goal, if your heart's desire is to do better, to be a disciple, you gotta know what the cross is. So let's begin by talking about what the cross is. One of the best places to find out about it is in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul says this in verse 18. He says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God." And two things come out of that verse. First of all, people who look at the cross and just wonder, why would God choose a symbol of death, defeat, torture, and weakness as his logo? they look at that and they say, that's silly, that's dumb, I don't get that. But for those of us who are being saved, who've chosen a better way, the path to discipleship, we look at it and we say, that's my source of strength. That's my source of inner peace. That's my promise of heaven. For people living in the first century, the cross meant weakness and death. It was the ultimate symbol of defeat. The Roman Empire used the cross not just to kill people, but to publicly humiliate people so that everybody would look and say, that's the last thing in the world I ever want to happen to me. And so people look at that and they say, why would God choose that? That's foolish. Why would God use a symbol of defeat to inspire people to want to follow him? Why would he use a symbol of death, torture, fear, and defeat? Well, I think the answer is because it took death to cure us from death. Think of it this way. Keep the bad breath theme going here just for a second. When you have bad breath, and I'm not talking about ordinary, everyday coffee breath. Jack just held his Bible up to his mouth like that. You're fine, Jack. You're fine. Give him a little kiss, Therese. He needs it. Give it. Oh, how sweet. Okay, too much. All right. When you have good breath, like Jack, you don't worry about it. But when you got really, really bad breath, remember what the old commercials told us that was called? That was called halitosis. And so if you have like chronic bad breath, like one of my college roommates did, what the pharmacist will give you is actually something to help you with that. You see, it's bad bacteria, stinky bacteria in your mouth that causes bad breath. But the pharmacist can give you a little something, like a little herb or something that has like kind of, well, good bacteria in it. And the good bacteria beats up on the bad bacteria, and then your breath isn't at least quite as stinky as it used to be. Think of it this way. How about flu shots and vaccines and those kinds of things? When you get a flu shot or a vaccine, the doctor puts a little bit, just a little bitty tiny bit of that bad virus in you so that your immune system beefs up so that if you're attacked by the bad virus, then your immune system can fight it off. So you use good bacteria to kill bad stinky bacteria. Use a little bit of flu vaccine to kill the bad flu that might get into your system. In a similar way, God used death to cure death. Listen to Hebrews 2. The Bible says, only by dying could he, that's Jesus, only by dying could Jesus break the power of the devil who had, past tense, the power of death. You see, it was Jesus' death on the cross that freed us from the curse of death. So when the Jews saw death, defeat, and weakness, which was the symbol of the cross, it meant something to them right away. But what does it mean to us today? You see, the problem is here in 21st century North America, as United States citizens, I mean, public executions don't happen very often, number one, and number two, they never happen with a cross. So we have to put a little bit of effort into understanding exactly what the cross is. But I'd say, if you really think about it, the cross for us today can be, is, and should be the same thing it was for the Jews back 2,000 years ago. The cross is that life change that scares you the most. Pause there for a minute. Think about life change for a minute. What is that life change that scares you more than anything else? Is it losing friends and family because you follow Jesus? That's a big life change. That's a cross if you have to give up friends and family. We talked about that last week. Is it living sober instead of living drunk? Is it being friendly instead of being the town grouch? Is it being patient instead of demanding? Is it being celibate instead of promiscuous? Is it being courageous rather than passive? Is it being humble rather than always needing to be the big shot? Those are big life changes. Those are crosses. And ask yourself, what is your cross? Do you even know? Have you thought about it? You see, we mess up. We think of crosses as being like some little inconvenience. We kind of have prettied it up. We think of bearing our cross as putting on a necklace or a magnet on the back of a car or hanging an ornament on the building or in your office or the Christmas tree or something like that. It's not what the cross meant to them 2,000 years ago, and it's not what it should mean to us today. What the cross is the thing that is least natural for you. The cross calls us out of what is natural and into the supernatural. It calls us away from our sin nature. Think of it this way. If you're a disciple of Jesus, you'll ask him to reveal your cross. Have you ever done that? That life change that scares you the most. Getting married, having kids, whatever it might be. Starting a new job, moving. and then you'll pick it up. Don't tell Jesus that you're willing to carry your cross if you're not sure what it is. How close are you to it? Is it across the room? A couple feet away? Or are you near to it? Whatever it is, whatever that fear is, you'll stop running from it and you'll stay near the cross. Well, we've talked a little bit about what the cross is. It's your greatest fear. You know, what if I lose my kids? What if they stop loving me? What if I lose my job because of Jesus? That's your cross. Having talked about what the cross is, let's take a minute and talk about what the cross does. Paul continues in verse 25. He says, this foolish plan of God, he's being sarcastic there, and he says foolish. This foolish plan of God is wiser than the wisest of human plans. And God's weakness is stronger than the greatest of human strength. What the cross is your greatest fear. What the cross does is it turns weakness into power. That greatest fear, that biggest insecurity that you have, God's ready to take that and turn that weakness, that fear, and turn it into the thing that is his billboard of mercy and power in your life. And so that's why you got to know what it is. You got to know what it is so God can take that and put it on display. And you're thinking, that's not what I signed on for, is to have my fears and insecurities out there for everybody to see. But that's what the cross does. It turns your weakness into power. Here's this really cool story back in the Old Testament. And I'd read it before, but it had been years and years. And I came across it this week, and it really grabbed me. It's found back in Exodus. And it happens right after Pharaoh lets the children of Israel out of Egypt. And so they're walking out of Egypt. They've walked across the Red Sea, but it's before the Ten Commandments have even been issued yet. So they're kind of in this interim place. They think they're on their way to the Promised Land. They don't know it's going to take them a really long time to get there. But as they're walking, they start to run low on water, and they get really, really super thirsty. But then they see some water off in the distance, and they think, oh, happy day. This is great. Everybody get your canteen. But they go over and they taste the water, and when they taste the water, what they discover is that it's salty and brackish and swampy and undrinkable. So the Israelites start to do what they do best, which is complain and grumble and, excuse me, we did not sign up. Can I please speak to the concierge, right? That's what they do. They grumble and complain when the unexpected happens and something happens that they don't like, and they make faces and they kind of whisper and murmur. That's what they do best. But then Moses does what he does best. Moses intercedes on behalf of the children of Israel. And he goes to God and he says, God, I'm going to need some help with this. We're hurting here. We're dying of thirst, and the people are getting real grouchy. And then God does what he does best. He saves the people. And it says this in Exodus 15, 25. Moses asked the Lord for help, and the Lord told him to throw a piece of wood into the water. Moses did so, and the water became fit to drink. Or the old translations say that the water became sweet. And you're thinking, well, Bill, that's a really cool Old Testament story. Where are you going with this? Folks, that story right there foreshadows the cross. That story right there is a picture of what God is going to do through Jesus. Think about it. A piece of wood was thrown into your life, the cross. And what was swampy and ugly and toxic and poisonous has now become rich and full and life-giving. That's what the cross does. When we have pasts that are filled with mistakes and sins and hurts, God throws that wood, that piece of wood, into your life, and you have a future filled with hope. You see, for Jesus, what appeared to be his moment of ultimate weakness was in reality his moment of ultimate strength. That's what the cross does. Just when you think you're weakest is when God is prepared to make you strongest. And there's a part of us that wants to run away from that. I mean, we're talking and singing about getting near the cross. There's a part of me that says, oh no, that really hurts. I want nothing to do with that. I'm going to put as much distance between me and that, whatever that fear is for you. I'm going to get as far away from that as possible. But the disciple who chooses the better way, who makes the decision of discipleship, instead what they do is they say, no, yeah, I'm afraid, and that looks bad. But I'm going to get closer, because Jesus said that if I love him, I'll pick up that greatest fear and I'll carry it around with me wherever I go, and I'll show it to anybody who wants to see it, because it can't hurt me anymore. The disciple of Jesus makes a hard decision, but it's a better decision. And instead of running further and further away, we let the cross do what it does best, and that's turn our weakness into power. But it only does that if we get nearer. Well, you're getting closer. Did you walk in carrying a cross? Did you leave it in the car? Did you leave it at home? Is it kept in a drawer someplace? Or are you getting nearer and closer? Or are you carrying it? Well, if you're carrying your cross, if you're doing what's better and answering the call to discipleship, then you understand that what God did for the cross, He can and will do for you. You see, it's when you're at your weakest that God is at His strongest. And the upside down truth of the cross is that God wants you to be flat on your back and weak and depending on Him and not depending on yourself. Look at verse 27 here, 1 Corinthians 1 again. But God chose the foolish, there's that word again. God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. You see, it's not that God chose the cross in spite of its weakness. He chose it because of its weakness. Jesus didn't die for you in spite of your weakness. He died for you because of your weakness and because of your sin. He didn't look at you and say, oh, they did it again. I guess I better go to the cross. He looked at you and He said, so broken, so hurting, so much pain, so confused, so disoriented. Because of that, I'll step in and I'll take His place. Because of that, I'll move her out of that place of death and I'll take her place for her. Paul talks more about this in 2 Corinthians 12 when he says, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Now, I don't know anybody who brags about their weaknesses. Do you? Do you go around bragging about your weaknesses? I don't know anybody who doesn't brag. Everybody brags a little bit. But I don't know anybody who brags about their weaknesses. It's kind of like when you go on a job interview, right? And then they ask you that dreaded question that everybody hates, but that you know is coming. So tell me, exactly what are your greatest weaknesses? Thank you very much. Don't you love that question? Well, how do you answer that? Well, I'll tell you what you don't do. You don't go up and you don't say, well, you know, I procrastinate and I'm not really on time very much. Have a hard time getting along. By the way, I can't even figure out how to turn on a computer. Oh, and did I tell you I have really, really bad breath? The preacher says it's called halitosis. Right? You don't do that stuff. None of us do that. What do? You try to take your weaknesses and you try and gussy them up a little bit and make them pretty. And you say, well, you know, I guess my greatest weakness is actually that I'm a bit of a perfectionist, you know. I have a lot of attention to detail. Or you say, you know, I guess my greatest weakness is that I'm an alcoholic. You're probably going to have to tell me to go home at the end of the day because I'll just stay here. Or, you know, my greatest weakness is that, let me think here now. Oh, the coworkers won't like me because I'm going to make them look really, really bad. Do you say that stuff? Of course not. Why don't we do that? It's because in our society, weakness is weakness and strength is strength. But in God's economy, strength comes from weakness. And what God did for the cross, which is exactly that, is exactly what He wants to do for you. Society says, look deep in yourself and pull yourself up. Get your act together, young man, because I have had it with you. And God comes along and says, no matter how hard you try, you are never going to get your act together. There's always going to be a slide off kilter on the deck. There's always going to be a parking ticket. There's always going to be a little tiff between you and the wife, no matter how much you guys love each other. So God says, quit trying to fix your own problems. Take that weakness, put it out there for everybody to see, and let me deal with it, and then understand what true strength is. I want to show you and then tell you a little bit of a story about how weakness and vulnerability becomes very powerful strength. Well, with the tip of the hat to Paul Harvey, let me tell you the rest of the story. How is it that one little girl, one little four-year-old girl, survives a horrible plane crash like that? Well, in the documentary Survivor that they mentioned, they explain it. What happened was, as that plane was coming in to the airfield there at Detroit, with great speed and great velocity, her mother did what you're not supposed to do. Her mother, who was sitting beside her, unbuckled her seatbelt and wrapped her body around her four-year-old daughter. Picture it. Four-year-old little girl in the seat, mother unbuckles and wraps her arms and legs and body and held on for dear life. And so when that plane crashed, Cecilia's mother's body absorbed all of the impact and all of the violence of that crash. And Cecilia was spared. Folks, that's exactly what Jesus did for you and me. He unbuckled. He shielded us from the righteous wrath of a holy God. We deserved every bit of the punishment that was coming our way. But instead, what Jesus did was he put himself in between us and God. He unbuckled his seatbelt, and by suffering on the cross, he shielded you from eternal death. Now, most people would say that was foolishness. Some people would say that what Cecilia's mom did for her was absurd. But her mother agreed to be very, very weak so that her daughter could survive. What Jesus did was he agreed to be very, very weak and very vulnerable so that you and I could survive and receive the promise of eternal life. These were his last words on the cross. Then Jesus shouted, "Father, I entrust my spirit into your hands." And with those words, he breathed his last. And that's the test for disciples. Will you do what Cecilia's mom did? Will you do what Jesus did? Will you permit your vulnerabilities and your weaknesses and your greatest fear, remember that's your cross, will you permit that to be in public view so that God is glorified by it? Because it's when we let go of our need for control, our need for money, our need for prestige, or however many friends you have on Facebook, or whatever symbolizes power to you and strength. It's when you let go of that and pick up weakness that you're really strong. Jesus takes disciples at their weakest moments, turns that weakness into strength for his glory. Do you want freedom from that weakness and fear? What is it for you? What disguise do you wear? What mask do you put on? What is the thing you want nobody to know about you? I've told you mine a million times. Why do you think I share with you so often about addiction and alcohol problems? It's because it's my greatest weakness. I want everybody to know about it. Because in that weakness, having been cured by Jesus Christ, I can proclaim his goodness. It's your way of saying to the world and the powers of darkness, you can't hurt me anymore because God has done for me what he did for the cross. He has turned my weakness into strength. And you thought loving Jesus more than your loved ones was hard. And now we're asking you to unmask in front of the world so Jesus Christ can be glorified. Let's summarize. What is the cross? It's a symbol of fear, weakness, death, and defeat. What does the cross do? It turns weakness into power. What is God's heart's desire? To turn your weakness into his glory if you will permit him to do that. That is a hard decision. Putting your fears out there for the whole world to see is a hard decision, but it's a good decision. Let me give you just one good reason why it's such a good decision. Because if you go through your life hiding your weakness and keeping it to yourself, sooner or later, you're going to start looking down your nose at other people. As long as you go through the facade of thinking you have no weaknesses, then you will expect perfection from everybody else. And that's judgment and that's sin. You embrace your weakness. You embrace it. And you pick it up and carry it. But you're set free from all of that. That's the decision that we're talking about. It's a better decision. It's a decision to be a disciple, and it's always better. It's the decision to pick up and carry your cross. Would you pray with me? Father, again, strength and honor to your name. Father, I can only imagine the thoughts that are going through all of our minds right now as we think about what has hurt us in the past and what hurts us so deeply. I can only imagine how afraid some of us are right now that we'll be unmasked, that our disguise will come off and the world will see us as you see us. And I ask, Father, that you do for us, that you do for this church, that you do for this city, that you do for this nation and the world what you did for the cross. We ask for the wisdom to begin to understand why you chose such a horrible means of self-sacrifice. And Father, I pray now for those of us who are willing to face our fears and weaknesses. Father, we boldly but humbly pray that you will reveal our true cross, not the one that we want to carry, not the one that we think we should have, that we will get it out of the drawer, pick it up, and carry it, and that you'll give us the willingness to do that. Do for us what you did for the cross. Please turn our weakness into strength in order to glorify your name. We pray all this in Jesus' name, and all God's people say, amen. Amen.